anyway, long story short, I got the job. I wound up pulling myself out of that. I eventually got off the street, got a little apartment, found a lady, and got back into real life. Within 6 months, I was working again full-time in broadcasting, doing my thing, and that's when I realized the vacuous life that I was living, because I had gotten out of the worst space of my life, the nadir of my existence.
Right.
And things were, no, I was right back into the rat race. And there's only one problem with the rat race, George, that is that even if you win, you're still a rat.
That's true.
So there I was, and that's when I woke up and realized, oh my God, I'm right back where I was before. Nothing is going to change. Get me out of here. This doesn't make any sense to me. My life is not working. My career had reached a dead end, in the sense that here I was in Medford, Oregon, at a 250-watt radio station, and I was, you know, better than that. And I was 50 years old. My relationship with this new lady was going downhill rapidly, and my health was going downhill as well. And that's when I woke up in the middle of the night, one night, and I said to myself, hey, you know what? You're 50 years old. There's got to be something other than this going on. What's the point? What is it? What is it that I don't know, the knowing of which would change everything? And I walked out into the darkness of the night in my home, sat on the couch by the moonlight. I saw a yellow pad, a yellow legal pad, sitting on the table in front of me, and I picked it up and I began writing a very, very angry letter to the universe. And I recall the first words that I wrote: what does it take to make life work? What have I done to deserve a life of such continuing struggle? And somebody tell me the rules. Just give me the rule book. I'll play. Just tell me the rules and don't change them once you tell them to me. And there I was writing that angry letter to the universe, to God, to whatever, to myself. I didn't have any plan.
You just wanted to write.
That's it. Getting it out. Just getting it out. A little form of self-therapy. And I heard a voice over my right shoulder, just as clearly as I'm hearing your voice on this phone tonight, right there over my right shoulder, and the voice simply said, now, mind you, it's 4:20 in the morning. I'd gotten up in the middle of the night to do this writing, just stomping around the house trying to find wisdom in the middle of the night. And here's this voice at 4:20 in the morning, and it says to me over my right shoulder, very quietly, very softly, but very distinctly, Neil, do you really want answers to all of these questions, or are you just venting? And I damn near jumped out of my skin. I turned around. Of course, there was no one there. And I thought, wow, what an imagination. I just made that up. The voice came back again with the same question. And so I found myself almost automatically, without really thinking about it, writing an answer down. I wasn't going to talk out loud to a disembodied voice that wasn't there. I was shaking. I was scared. I thought I had somehow communicated with another level of consciousness or awareness, if not trafficking with the devil, whatever was going on. So I wrote down on the piece of paper, on the legal pad that I was writing on, you know, what's going on, and who is this, and what's happening. And instantly, I was overcome with a sense of peace, an inner peace.
And were these words just flowing back to you?
Yes, instantly. Instantly, I was made to know, one, everything was fine. Relax, everything is okay. And if you really want answers to these questions, just ask them one by one and I will answer you. And so I began writing down questions that I had for life itself, about life. And as soon as I would finish writing the question, even before I finished writing the question, the entire answer would be like downloaded into my mind, just right there. And it was all I could do to keep up with it, and to write as fast as I could. To get everything down. And then I would ask the next question, because, of course, what I was given would lead to another question. I would ask a question and get another answer, a question and an answer, until before I knew it, I found myself engaged in an on-paper dialogue, question-answer, that was healing me. I hate to be this trite. I truly hate to be this hackneyed, but that's exactly what was happening. I was feeling healed and made whole in that moment. And the experience was so complete that I was crying, I mean, weeping. I can remember that I was using a felt tip pen at the time, and the ink was running because I was weeping on the yellow legal pad.
Oh, sure, yeah.
At how extraordinary this was, and the answers that I received to the questions were changing my life right in that moment, even as they've changed the lives of, now they tell us, around 8 million people who've purchased my books.
Yeah, exactly, and that's conservative. I think there's much more out there that you've touched because other people have changed. As a matter of fact, Neil, years ago, a friend of mine who just thinks the world of you, Johnny Rose from St. Louis, and he'll probably call in during our chat session with you, brought me your book, your first book, Conversations with God. And he said, you've got to read this. And I did, and I went, my gosh. Actually, I said, my God.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was just so compelling. As you were writing then, was it changing you instantly?
On the spot. Yes, it was an in-the-moment transformation, little by little, but I mean, it wasn't a complete transformation, but little parts of me, first my anger was disappearing, then my resentment would disappear, then my fear would dissipate, then my anxiety went away, and one by one, these little elements of my life that were causing me to be so depressed and so put off by the whole thing and really ready to check out, were being healed. And that was going on for that entire evening, for that entire night. I wrote there for about 4 or 5 hours until 8:30 or 9 o'clock in the morning. The house started coming alive. It was a Saturday morning. I didn't have to go anywhere. But as the house became alive, I got out of there. I got out of the living room and went off to someplace private so that I could continue this for a little bit longer, but then it was impossible. So I put it aside until the next night. And the next night I got up again around 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning and began again. And the connection was seamless. I picked up right where I left off. This went on for about 3 months, every single night of my life, until I had hundreds and hundreds of handwritten pages of dialogue. And at that point, I realized that something extraordinary was happening and that it was meant for more than just for me. In fact, in the dialogue, George, it said, this will one day become a book. I didn't believe that at the time. It was one of many things that I did not fully believe or fully embrace. But I had learned by that time, this was around 3 months into it, not to edit myself. I don't know whether I believe what I was writing, but I did make kind of an agreement with myself that I would just write down whatever was coming to me and not edit myself or stop myself from writing what I was hearing in my head. So I wrote that down there. Yeah, this will one day become a book. Sure, sure. But in fact...
it became more than a book.